You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
Good morning, sweaty, snotty, teary people. Or should I say good afternoon? Oh no, it is morning for us here recording. Can we have a drum roll, please? When we set out to do this podcast... Was that a drum roll? I didn't know if that was
It was a really bad drum roll.
Well done. There was one guest that we always really wanted because we know that our audience absolutely adore her. And Wendell, today is the day. We've both abandoned our children on half term to record this. That's how big a deal it is. Wendy, how excited are you?
I'm really quite excited. I'm not going to tell you anything about anything. I just want to talk to her. Please.
Okay, so with no further ado, let's say the biggest welcome to Rochelle Humes.
Oh, that was so nice.
Oh, you are more than welcome.
Oh, that was lovely.
Honestly, our readers and our listeners love you.
Everything
we write about you ever, they just lap it up.
Oh, that's so kind. Oh, goodness me, I'm not sure why.
You might not have known it before now, but you are a net mum.
Well, I'm into being a net mum, so thanks for having me.
So the first question we always ask our podcast guests, and I should imagine with the amount of little people running around yours, you'll be able to answer in the affirmative. Any sweat, snot or tears in your house this morning?
Well, I have a little boy that is almost 8 months old, so I feel like I constantly have sweat, snot and tears just from one human. Just for existing. This morning was actually, it was one of those mornings that were really easy. I kind of, bank holiday had happened and then my kids' school do this really amazing, like summer camp. That's what they call it, but it's kind of like really good outdoor activities and they love it there and they meet up with their friends and they like, it's a thing. Like we have to plan what's going in the packed lunch and like, it's a real ordeal. Yeah, they love it. So this morning I was kind of thinking, right, today, obviously bank holiday's done. We've all had a real lazy, nice, sunny weekend. And I really need to crack on and do a lot of work. So I was kind of thinking, oh God, please don't have a wobble about not wanting to go, you know, and it turns into that. But thankfully, the two eldest got out of the door okay and they're all right. And my youngest is currently having his late morning nap. So at the minute, I don't want to speak too soon. But I'm winning. I'm talking to you and no one's crying or asking me any questions. Yeah. I mean, so at the minute, we're all right. In about an hour, I'm sure it will change.
Yeah. That you can only live hour to hour.
I'm seriously jealous. I've had to leave all of my kids. So I'm at my sister-in-law's house. So there were five children under nine. And it's the noise. Oh, wow. My God, the noise.
Oh, yes.
And I left them all in a paddling pool with a bowl and water balloons. And just walked out and said, see you in
Tell me there's an adult. Tell me there's an adult near the paddling pool, Wendy.
Well, there's Granny.
Okay, she's passed.
Granny is there with her prerequisite 52nd cup of tea of the day. And they're all just running foul. So I'm just glad to be in another house.
Yes, you know what? You just got to take these wins. You really have.
Yeah, you saved
Set them
me,
up
Michelle.
And then creep away. Set them up and creep away. I feel like that's always the good tactic.
So remind us how old... Blake is 8 months, isn't he?
Yes,
yeah, so he'll be 8 months. I just got his name right. I haven't I?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes. Don't worry, you're all good.
No, our colleague has a lake, so we get confused with our Blake one.
I've got you. Right, yes. No, he is a Blake, and he is 8 months old on the 9th. And I do not understand, genuinely, and I've had three kids, like I know how this works, but I just don't understand with him. I don't know if because... He's arrived in the middle of a global pandemic, but it's just gone so quickly.
Oh, I think it goes faster and faster the more and more children you have.
Mm.
That's the rule.
I think because he's 8 months and he's not met everybody, you know? Like we're normally they've seen everyone, they've been in and out of everybody's houses. And so he's just starting to meet people, which is like odd and lovely all at the same time.
So I wanted to ask you how your lockdown was. Obviously, your lockdown is quite different if you've had a baby during it. How did you find it all?
Do you know what? It was a weird time because it was obviously not, you know, we're in a pandemic and hopefully really nearing the end of it now. And it was, you know, an awful time for the world, right? But there was positives that I could take from it. So the fact that, well, since me and my husband met, we've both lived super fast-paced lives and, you know, we're kind of one in, one out, and that's just how we are. And so for the first time in a long time, we, like, were one of those couples that were, like, up on watching box sets, and we're like, oh, yeah, we've done that one on Netflix.
And doing everything together.
Yeah, doing everything together. So it was actually really nice and refreshing. I think for the first bit of pregnancy, I wasn't on telly, so I wasn't, like, I didn't feel, you know, every pregnancy that I've had up until Blake, I've sort of been on telly or been in a girl band and felt very like, I want to just be under a duvet, but I can't because that's just my job and I'm self-employed. I need to get out there and get on with it. So it was quite nice sort of hiding away, and the world was hiding away, so it didn't matter. Obviously the downsides, you know, just when I see people, they're like, oh my goodness, I forget you've had a baby, you know, because I think, and I just hadn't seen anybody and celebrated those milestones. And, you know, I think it was quite a scary time to be pregnant and find, you know, everyone was learning about the coronavirus as we still are, as we go. So, like, you know, was I more at risk? They didn't know I was than I wasn't. And then, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So it was scary, but also beautiful at the same time, if that's possible.
Yeah. In some ways, does it take pressure off that sort of new baby bit where you're, you know, you've got visitors coming and all of that shenanigans?
Oh, 100%. Like, I mean, this is terrible, isn't it? But one thing that is quite nice to say, oh, you know, we're not really seeing people at the minute. We're not going to be able to do that soon.
No, I know. We're going to have to be sociable, aren't we?
Have to be sociable again, which obviously I've missed. But at the same time, it's sort of like, oh, yeah, when this is all over, it's the line that everybody's using it. When this is all over, we'll definitely have to get together even though, you know, you're probably not going to.
I've said that about 100 times.
Everybody has. Me and my friends were having a chat about it the other day. They were like, oh, yeah, you can't just hide away anymore. So, yeah, I think it definitely took the pressure off, you know, everybody coming over and that influx of people. But I am one of those weird mums that actually love that bit. Like, I love that. Yeah, when you have a baby. My trick is, and I always say this to new mums, I let people come to the hospital because I like that. I'm so in the bubble that I'm just like, I want to just stand on the roof and show my baby off to the world because I'm so buzzing. So I make everyone that needs to sort of, that I know is going to want to see the baby straight away, I'm like, oh, come to the hospital, come and meet them. So obviously I didn't have that this time, and I missed that. I love that bit. And then what I always do, and I always say this to new mums, when people are like, oh, can we pop in? People don't pop in. Before you know it, you're up making cups of tea and making them a sandwich.
Yes.
So I let everybody key and everybody that I know is going to want to see them, like, as soon as they're born, come to the hospital.
And then stay away from me.
But do you know what I do? I go to them. I go, no, we're out and about and we're seeing people.
That's a nice tip.
Yeah, I say this to all new mums. When I'm ready, I think, like, give it a couple of weeks. Oh, no, we're popping out to see science that day, so why don't we pop in to see you? Because do you know what? You can then pick up your baby and say, well, I need to get him home for bath time, or I need to get... And you don't have to worry about when the hell are they going to leave. Yeah. You can just go and you're excused.
And it doesn't matter how messy your house is because...
doesn't matter how messy your house is.
Yeah, they're never
they
going to see it.
They can make you tea. Yeah, they can make you tea. And you can go there and sit there for a bit. And it doesn't matter if you're 20 minutes because you've done the nice thing and you've popped to see them. It's the best way.
Wow. That's one of the best new mum tips we've ever had. I love it.
Yeah, it's a good one. I say this to all of my friends.
Was it weird giving birth? Was it like, was Marvin allowed with you? Did you have any of those? Obviously, you must have been anxious about it, but was it a different birth experience than with the girls?
So Blake was born in October. So it was at the time where it had changed a bit. So I remember people were then going on holiday over summer and it was more relaxed. And then it went back into lockdown again, literally after he was born. So we sort of, it wasn't as, you know, say... one of, you know, a couple of my other friends that had babies in their April time when it was literally at its peak. It wasn't like having a baby then, if you know what I mean. So it wasn't as scary. I was having a cesarean, so he could come in with me, which was nice.
So I'm going to move on to talking about your nursery. Now, your nursery photos quite literally nearly broke the internet, and that sparked a conversation in our office about if you were your mate, what do you buy Blake? Because he's got, like, loads of stuff. Tell us, What was your best new baby present?
So Blake's nursery, first off, just became like my hobby during like pregnancy. And one of my best friends is an interior designer for a living. So I was like, I know what you can do for my nominating what she can do for my baby gift. Why don't we, will you just help me? Because she's so busy and working on people's homes and stuff. Like, can you just help me do a really cool nurse? I knew what I wanted, but just putting it all together just seemed like a headache because I was so pregnant, you know, and we had such fun doing it together. It became like such a passion. And there's so many things I'd learned from having other kids that I thought, do you know what? I'm going to just put a bed in the room straight away.
Like, okay, this podcast, top tips.
Yeah, let's just change
the name. Yeah, I know, this is a top tip podcast, yeah.
I did that for my second and it changed everything. Everything became so much easier.
Right?
Yes.
So I just feel like with a layer, I feel like I changed the bed. I had a bed and then it was a cot bed and then she had another one because she was too big for the cot bed and then she was bigger again. And I feel like I just, the bed situation kept unravelling.
Yes.
So with him, I thought, the cot's going to go. The cot is going to go. So I'm going to put a bed in there. That means also when I do the nights or like
yes,
when my mum wants
got
to come and help
to be.
Me, I'm
yes.
in the room, I can lay down. And,
yes.
and there was so, I got so many messages like, why have you put a bed? Like he doesn't need that. He hasn't even been in it. And I'm like, no, but listen to my point here. This isn't to look like a fancy bedroom. This is for sheer practicality and the fact that
it's a survival strategy.
And I won't have to do it again. So I also made it really white and all the accessories were black and animal print and like cute. But then I thought he's going to tell me he wants it different. Then that can all be removed and he can add Spider-Man or whatever it is he's going to love, I don't know, to the room. Oh, he has a bed.
You are a genius. I love it.
It's taken three, guys. It's taken three.
Maybe that's the problem. I stopped at two, and so I just never got that last.
See, if you had a third, Wendy, you'd be putting a bed in now, I'm telling you.
If I had a third, I'd be divorced, love, so don't worry about that.
So that was, but I think my best present was from one of my bestest friends, Gemma. We've been friends since school, just after I left school, and she had her baby in March, so height... lockdown, scary, COVID, no one knowing what's happening.
Yeah, that wouldn't and be nice. That really
No, it really wasn't. And I was so sad for her because she tried for such a long time to have a baby. Mm. But I didn't have any joy breastfeeding my first two times. And I was determined. I was like, look, I don't, you know, me and Marvin decided between us, we think three's enough. We'd found out we were having a boy, not that that mattered, but it was sort of like the cherry on top. And I was like, I don't want to do this again. But I know that I really want to breastfeed and want to make this happen this time.
Yeah.
Obviously, she just like was fully breastfeeding at this point. And she was like, okay, I'm ordering you something. And don't like lose this Amazon delivery. Open it and put it in your drawer by your bedside because in a few months you're going to thank me. I was like, what? Okay.
Ooh.
And she ordered me these silver cups like for your breast. They're like, they're actually like metal. I don't know what they're made out of. They're actually metal.
Are they like nipple cover things?
Yeah, as you'd imagine a cover to be. It's almost got this, almost deeper. So
what do you do with it?
So you put it over your nipple
and
in your bra, but it doesn't, because it's like a cup at the end, it doesn't even touch your boob. And so you don't get any rubbing or, you know, like the covers that you put on your boob that are like, I just find they just rub and get on your nerves.
Yeah.
The ones that are like boob sanitary towels, basically.
Yeah. And they get stuck and they're annoying and this is literally a cup. So you put it on.
Wait, you need to tell me what it's called. I need to see it. I can't imagine it. I'm going on Amazon while I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Wait there.
Is it called silver cups breastfeeding?
One second, silver nipple.
Oh, silverette nursing cups.
Yes.
There they are. They're from Italy.
Can you see them? Right.
And every person listening to this is going to be Googling as they
Because I'm a big fan of the breastfeeding. I absolutely loved it. So I'm fascinated by these.
Annie's a serial breastfeeder. She was on it.
I breastfed for like 800 years when you add it all together.
Oh my God. I just really, with a layer, I felt really like, I was 23 when I had her. I was just like, oh, I don't know. I tried it and I was like, oh, no, nothing's really working. And I think I just shut it down myself because I freaked myself out about it.
I was like you. It was really hard.
Yeah. And then I didn't. And then with Valley, I was like, oh, well, I just, you know, it's a winning formula. Alas, slept quite well and it's not broke, don't fix it. And then I just really felt like I was like pining for this experience I've never had.
So what do these magic silver cups do? Do they help stop
They protect your boob. And I'm guessing, is this right, Rochelle, that the silveriness, the metalness promotes healing or something if you've got a bit of sore boob?
Yes.
Is that right?
And they're really cold. And literally, because if you can see, they're like deep, right? So they're not flat. Your nipple doesn't even touch the sides, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So you pop it on top and you just don't feel like you've got anything on. So these silver cups were like my lifeline. And, you know, they're not the... There was all different ones in here. I'm just looking at Amazon. There's one,
it would be like a nice gift for someone because it is quite expensive and it's silver, so it's kind of special, isn't it?
Yeah. How much? So hang on, how much?
They're like 40 quid.
About 40 quid. Yeah. Yeah, 40. Some are 26. Oh, maybe that's a different make. Maybe go for those. some are 26 and some are 45.
And did that mean you could breastfeed him? Did it help?
Well, I did breastfeed him. I breastfed him until he were 3 months, I think. Which for me was such a big achievement.
And did you feel good about it?
I did. He was then, he had an intolerance to cow's milk, which was a whole lot of drama, which is why I tailed off. I thought, it did hurt. I wasn't expecting that. Hi, I found it quite, I didn't really find that eased. I don't know why. He's just like a piranha. so he then went on like a goat's milk formula, which he has had since, which really suits him. Then I was like doing a plant-based diet. Oh, if I just, then it just become very hard.
Yeah, that's really complicated.
Yeah. And then the more that I was then trying to be exclusive just to me, then my milk wasn't coming and it just got a little bit hectic towards the end. And do you know what? To be honest with you, had I have pushed through a bit more and carried on being plant-based and I was like, oh, I've done this for 3 months now. I've got Elias telling me, Mummy, what PE kit do I need today? And it was all just like, for my sanity, I think it's a good time to wind down.
You have to pick your battles, don't you?
Yes, pick your battles and know when it's right. And I did have a lovely time doing it, I have to say.
But that's what matters. If there's a point where somebody isn't enjoying it, you or the baby, and you're finding it's harder than it is enjoyable, that you listen and you know, everybody's got to be okay. And if you're not okay, struggling on with breastfeeding for the sake of it is really hard.
Sanity over anything else, I always say.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a bad move for you and your team, right? Like I could feel myself getting to the point where, and he could, and one day I'd eaten something and then I felt so guilty. I just cried all day about it. I didn't realize it had dairy in it. And then he was in agony and screaming. And I was like, oh, my goodness me, I've done this. And it was just a bit of a struggle. Had he have been my first and that's the way around it happened, I probably would have, you know, he'd be my only reason, right? So I kind of could have probably pursued it a little bit more. But that was it, 3 months. And I felt like, okay. And Marv was like, look, I think you're good now for everyone's sanity. Why don't you just give yourself a break? So I did.
Fair enough. Now, back to the house, because we're just obsessed with your house, basically, at NetMums.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, honestly, funny. Every time you post
just
something
about
your house.
Just so you know, you sound creepy, Annie. You sound a bit creepy.
Yeah. I promise, I'm not going to stalk you. I'm not going to come and bang on your door. But every time you post something, everyone's like, oh, she's put another picture up of the house. We love it. Now, is it very much your baby, or do you and Marvin share the vision for the beauty that is your house?
Marv isn't so interested, like, and he won't mind me saying he doesn't really care. If his telly's plugged in and, you know, the fridge is working and
he
can
a bit
take
like
a shower, he's not too bothered. Like, but then he loves it all afterwards. Like,
right.
So then he's like, I love this. And then I'll hear him like telling people, oh yeah, we thought this when we were doing it. I'm thinking,
whoa,
you've added a we in here because you weren't interested, mate. do you know what? I love it. I'm obsessed with interiors. It's like one of my favourite things to do and I will bore anyone senseless.
Well, we always do well at the things we like, don't we? I think the lovely thing about it is that your house is very beautiful, but it doesn't feel like anybody else's. It feels very you.
Ah, that's nice.
Yeah, because, like, you know, sometimes on Instagram, I get it all just becomes a blur because everyone's following the same trends and kind of doing the same things, aren't they? Whereas when you put something up, I'm like, that's Rochelle. I know it's Rochelle.
Oh, really? That's so funny. Yeah, I think that's how your home should feel, very you. Yeah, I mean, which a lot of the time is blooming chaotic. So I've got to try and find a nice corner to take a picture of.
Where there's no mess and no dirty nappies and baby grows.
Are you conscious of that? Do you do that Instagram?
Yeah, do you hide kind of the error with the dirty pants or clean, hopefully, pants on?
if I want to take a picture of something, I will 100% say, Marv, move that muslin, move that nappy a minute out of the way. I'm just taking a picture. It's in the background.
And is he there, like, muttering ominously under his breath while you're doing it?
As if you care. no, I do care. That is ruining my picture. But, yeah, I don't overthink it. But, yeah, 100%, if I think it's ruining my vibe, and that nappy is going.
So funny.
So does the same thing apply when it comes to the kids? Like, who's good cop, who's bad cop? Yeah. What's and Marv most whinge about over the kids? Who
It's going to be really interesting to see how the dynamic unfolds now we have Blake.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure if it's an opposite sex thing, but I'm definitely tougher on the girls than he is, for sure. There's no two ways about it. Like, yeah, he is soft. They literally have to say daddy and give him like one look, and well,
they've already got
what they've wanted, and I don't think they've finished the sentence. Where I'm very much like, well, no, Marv, they don't. They might have asked for it, but it's not their birthday. It's not Christmas. They can, you know, this is round the corner. Or, yeah, and I'm like, Marv, she'll be fine. Leave her. She'll learn. That's life. But my mum seems to think that could happen when Blake's of the same sort of age.
And is he there? Is he going to be sat there, the dad, you know, sat on the porch with his shotgun when they come home with boyfriends, like assessing whether they're any good or not?
He just seems to think that he is going to be this cool dad until the end. And I was trying to explain to him the other day, I was like, babe, there's going to be things that the girls will not want to talk to you about because you're their dad. And he's like, they always know that they can. I'm like, no, they, of course they will know they can, but there's going to be some things that they'll say to me, Mum, please don't tell dad. But, you know, because then they might not want to speak to you about it because you're male. And he hasn't got his head around that yet.
Oh, I love it.
I know. I think that's just life. And he's like, oh no, I don't think so. Because I, you know, if they want to talk, I'm not going to be, I think they'll have to be more, the girls, when they bring anybody home, whether it's male or female, I think it will be each other that will be the, because the girls are so close.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd be scared of us. I think they'd be scared of, like, oh gosh, the sister.
That's really interesting. Yeah. It's fascinating watching the sibling bonds develop, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think myself, like, I'm just trying to think from when I first met Marvin's family, like, he didn't have a sister, but had he have had a sister,
that would have been tough.
I think that would have been more intimidating to me than his parents, if I'm thinking about it.
Sisters can be harsh. I say that as a sister.
Yeah, of course. We all are. Like, I know that, like, you know, my sisters have recently brought boys over and all, you know, we've been out for dinner and they're messaging me like, be nice, he's so nervous on the way. And I'm like, what do you mean be nice? I'm not going to be mean. But they're like, it's just your eyes. It's a look you give. I'm like, wow, they must just be sister eyes that I don't really know happen.
Sister eyes.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm going to go back to my sister-in-law and see if she does sister-in-law eyes when I get
back. Yeah, exactly.
Now, on my list of questions is, can we please have the secret to your success? Because you started out as a singer, now you're all over our TVs, guest presenting This Morning, and everything you show on Instagram is instantly adored. Your fans call you Squad Goals Mama. You've got a gorgeous husband, three stunning kids. Can we please have the recipe? Because we want our lives to be as great as yours.
You're missing out a lot of in between there. Oh my goodness. Well, when you say it like that, I feel very thankful. Do you know what it is? I just think you get one life. And this is one thing that I really try to project onto my kids. You know, when I started in telly, there were people that, well, I started in telly when I was like 16, and, you know, that was what I wanted to do. Then an audition came up for a group and I thought, actually, I think that's what I want to do now. And then the group finished, and then I was like, actually, I would like to go back into telly. And, you know, there were a lot of sort of cynics that were like, oh, of course she does, because, you know, telly is this world. You can't just decide you want to now enter it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why not? You know, when I was younger and I went to performing arts school for a weekend, you didn't just learn one thing. It was fun because you got to cover lots of different things. And I think you can have a hunger in your belly for so much, and you can open yourself up to so much if you're open to it, you know? So I kind of, you know, when Alaa will say things, and, you know, some of them aren't realistic. One minute she wants to be a dolphin trainer and a teacher and also, but I just don't discourage any of it.
No.
Because I just think,
someone's
got to
be a dolphin trainer.
And yes, and she's like, I want to be a dolphin trainer and a vet and a hairdresser and a doctor and a teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm like, sure. And, you know, I'm
she's like, got time. Having, it's
yeah,
fine.
You know, oh, and a mum. And a mum. I was
okay,
like, oh, wow. If you're going to be a mum, I'm not sure any of those are possible because we don't have a lot of time, honey. With anything, I really think if you open yourself up to things in life, and I think we can all be closed off to stuff about even knowing, just thinking it's just not in the realm of possibility, but why not? Because it has to happen for somebody. So when, you know, people were like, oh, I wonder if they're going to take her seriously in telly. Well, now that's all people know me for, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of think you've just got to give it a go and believe and work hard. And that's one thing, like, I'm not scared of the graft. And I think there'll always be somebody that's not as good as you, but if they're willing to put in that work, then it's them that are going to succeed. So I think that's one thing I always try and tell my kids is just to go for it, whatever it is. But if you're going for it, work hard, because it's not just going to fall in your lap.
That's true. Is that how you were brought up, or is this something that's kind of come upon you at a certain point in your life?
I think a bit of both. Like, my mum raised us as a single mum.
And how many of you were there?
So I have siblings, but from my dad and then from my mum. So
okay.
My mum raised me and my sister.
Okay.
And then I have two other sisters and a brother from my dad.
Yeah.
She was raising us alone, and she used to work so many jobs. Then she wanted to own a hairdresser's, I remember. And then I remember being like early teens, I want to say probably like 17. And my mum was like, I really want to be a paramedic. And then she went to college and
she
trained. Yeah.
That's incredible. And then inspiring.
Yeah. Like, honestly, brilliant. So I think her sort of like, and also she was literally raising two kids by herself. There wasn't like, I'm lucky that, you know, first of all, we've worked hard and we're fortunate. So yes, we could afford for help, but I do have Marvin. And
it's risky when you're bringing two kids up. You're changing your income source and you need that income, right? So it's really bold.
And I also think when you've got teens, when your kids are older, to just be like, oh, actually, I want to do this. When you're sort of really, when my kids are like 17, that's like, oh, God, they're sort of all right now. I'm still parenting, but it's not, you know, we're out of the woods, right? So to go and have a whole sort of new challenge in life,
I really admire women who do that. My granny,
I know.
My granny did it when her kids were teens. She switched from being a nurse to a teacher of disabled children, and it involved her doing like a PGCE and all kinds.
Yeah, of course.
And I just think, God, hats off to you girls. That is
just brilliant, isn't it?
My husband's grandmother
just being determined.
What did she do?
So she left deepest, darkest Wales as a single mum, like 65 years ago, and moved to London and trained as an orthodontist.
Oh, wow. How amazing is that? Is that on Tim's mum or dad's side?
That's Tim's mum's mum.
Wow.
So she just decided she was off and she left and she went to London and retrained.
Aren't we all lucky to have those women as like in our lives to reference? And aren't our kids lucky to have them to reference?
But
honestly,
Michelle, would you, how would you feel? Obviously, your kids have got two pretty talented parents in the vocal department. Mm. How would you feel if they wanted to go into the industry, whether it was telly, whether it was singing? Do you mind? Would you like them to? Are you against it?
Or would you rather they were paramedics?
I don't really, my mum would say not a paramedic, I'm sure.
Dolphin trainers. It's dolphin trainers, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Do you know what? I have no genuinely and wholeheartedly, I have no expectation for my kids. I really don't. I have, you know, there's nothing that I expect of them or I just want them, I honestly want them to live their best life. And I feel we have worked hard and we've become fortunate, you know, I suppose from a financial perspective that, you know, we can, you know, live in a nice house and they're set up in a nice way, but I don't want them to think that that is life. Like,
yeah.
Don't let that mean that, you know, you still need your dreams and your goals and your, and yeah, we've sent them to a lovely school and they're, you know, they're going to be around nice opportunity, which is very different to my, you know, how I grew up. You know, my mum was hustling and, you know, money wasn't a thing and it wasn't, we had a really happy childhood, but it wasn't kind of, you know, always fun days out and this, that and the other. So I think I just want them to do whatever makes them happy and be whoever that is that makes them happy. So I kind of have no, I don't know. People often say to me, do you think they'll do the same thing that you do if they're, you know, dancing around and, you know, around the kitchen. Do you think they want to do what you do? I'm like, just have no idea. Like every child, even like my friends' kids, they're all doing the same, you know, dancing and singing. And it's just whether they then decide that's the path that they want to take. And listen, if they did, then obviously I could help them. Mm. I suppose show them how this industry can be really super crazy and they'd have me to keep them grounded through that. But I think I just want them to be who they want to be ultimately, like, and that is whatever their goal is, however small and however big. I just want them to be happy, I think.
But how do you make that happen when they're as fortunate as they are? Like you said, they live in a lovely house. They've got two parents with incredible jobs. They go to a great school and they've got lots of opportunities. How are you going to make them see the benefit of finding their own
life.
Groove?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a really good question.
Because it for myself as well.
No,
it's 100%. It's really hard, isn't it?
100%. That's a really good question because I've had hunger in my belly from such a young age, but I sort of also needed that hunger in my belly, right? If I wasn't going to, you know, my mum had me, we lived in a hostel for a while. When I was like a newborn, my mum then...
I want to meet your mum. She sounds amazing.
She is amazing. She is.
Can you bring her next time as well?
I will bring her next time. And you won't, this podcast will be a long record.
Oh, does she like to chat?
She can chat.
Love a chatty mum.
We used to call her the Romford recorder. She just knows everything and everything. So she, and then she was lucky enough to get a council property and then, which was a flat and then a home. And then she bought the home off of the council, which I remember that was like a huge day.
That would be a big moment, yeah.
Huge day. So what I'm saying is I had that hunger in my belly, I suppose, from my mum and from the life that I had, right? I didn't just have stuff. It wasn't a thing where I guess my girls don't have that, right? You know, if they run out of something, you know, I'm going to get a new one. And that's just the product of the environment. There's not really anything that, you know, there's nothing that they could do. It's just what they know. So I think mine is with like life lessons and, you know, and I also think the real world, like not all of their friends live in a house like this, not all of particularly their family, you know, when they're like desperate to go and stay with their cousins of a weekend that, you know, they don't live in the area that we live. They live where I used to live or, you know, so I think it's just having that real sense of life. And to be honest with you, I don't actually have the answer for that yet.
No.
And I'm sort of finding my feet as I go.
Can you email it in to us? Because we need to know as well.
I will. Yeah, I will.
Now, I think I might know your answer to this question before I even ask it. But as a mum that has lots of mums who look up to her, who do you turn to for inspiration? And I've got a feeling
it's the Romford recorder.
It's the Romford recorder. It absolutely is. Do you know what? It's so funny when you say mums that look up to me. I really just, that's so mad.
But they do. They really, really, really do.
So go on. Is it your mum?
I think also we're all winging it. And I think that's one thing when people always say, oh my God, I love you as a mum, or it's really not, you know, Instagram is a clip of best bits of the day. And I think, and also, well, not everybody lives like that. You know, mine is, I'm honest, but I'm also want to, it's a page where I like to put the nice parts of my day. I'm not going to put, for me, that's just not how I always operate. And I know some influencers do, but I'm just, no, and I just don't, I'm not that influencer that goes, you know, shit is hitting the fan today. It's all going wrong. Blake's screaming. Alaa doesn't want to dress. The last thing I'm thinking, girls, is let me get my phone out and take a picture of myself. So when I see those things, which I love, and I think it's you know, it's that it's real to a degree. For me, that isn't real in my world, because I think to get my phone out, oh, look how lovely. Oh, the kids look gorgeous there. Let me take a picture of them. But I don't find it real to post the horror of my day, because I'm too busy trying to bloody get out of the horror. So for me, it's sort of like a highlight of my life. And, you know, I'll always be honest if people ask, but I just don't remember to take pictures when I've got a shitty nappy next to me and, like, you know, and I'm trying
what
to cook dinner.
Other things to think about, quite frankly.
I've got other stuff to think about. But, yeah, in terms of who I go to, oh, always my mum. For everything, though, literally for everything. And my aunt. My mum and my aunt have the best advice with
Is that your mum's sister or your dad's sister?
She's actually my godmum, but she's
I call her my aunt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her and my mum are best friends, and they have been since, well, before I was born. They literally are like my sounding board, and, you know, they're the people that, like, will get annoyed for me about stuff. You know, when I've not even processed the fact that I'm like, oh, do you think this has happened? Is that right? And they're like fuming, and I'm like, oh. You know, when they love me to that level, like we're that close. So yeah, they're my little sounding board. And like, if anything's happened with the kids or with, you know, and straight away they're like, well, when you were young, we X, Y, and Z. And I think that will always
That's so useful to just have those people who are your bedrock.
Yeah. However, a lot has changed, and that's the thing that I always say.
Yes.
Like, little things, like Alaa asked me for a TikTok account, and she's 8, and I'm like, no, she doesn't need a TikTok account.
No.
And I called my mum, and my mum was like, what would they do on TikTok? I'm like, so this is where it kind of stops now. There's this sort of like new section of parenting that obviously wasn't covered before. So yeah, and I mean, she only wanted it because her cousin had it, and she stayed there, and it was like, oh, you know, they're doing these dances. And I'm like, you can do the dances, but you don't need a TikTok account.
No, you really don't.
But that's a tough thing to navigate. Well, I've got a 9-year-old daughter, and I'm coming up to that, like, starting to request. And it's really like, you have to be very firm, and you're not their friend at that point. You're most definitely their parent.
No, and it's particularly hard when they can see a friend who's got it. That's the nightmare.
This is what sets it off for me. I'm like, because then what, Alaa, you're 8 years old. You do not need, so-and-so at school's got it. And then that's when I'm screwed. So I'm like, okay.
But that's when you turn into your mother, because you hear yourself saying, if everyone else jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff?
Oh, I know.
And suddenly you're like, oh, shit, it's happened.
I know, it's happened. I can hear her. I can actually hear her.
She's coming from inside.
She's coming from inside, whether I like it or not. I think for me, I'm just always like, you know, no, so-and-so isn't my daughter, and this is how we do things. I'm sure there's lots of things that you do that she doesn't do, or she isn't allowed to do. Like, you know, of a weekend, I let you have a sister sleep over and you stay up to this time. And I wondered, is she allowed to, you know, so I kind of like try and find the, but do you know when that's the hardest bit of parenting for me, is when you're literally thinking on your feet.
Yes.
And you need to have a sort of, because they just hit you with these things.
Yeah.
It's not like anything else in life where you'd be like, right, we're going to have a meeting about this tomorrow. So, you know, you can go home that night and have a think of all of your points and why they're valid.
Actually, because they won't forget. If you say it on the hoof and
Say
it wrong, it's like branded on their brain. They'll remember it.
Yeah, well, you've done it then. That's it. You've said it. And that's where, like, kind of then we'll have a, well, Daddy said that it was all right because da, da, da. I'm like, oh, Jesus. And then I've said no. And then I'm like, well, me and Daddy haven't even caught up on this yet.
Yeah, me and Daddy need a meeting.
Yeah, meeting / row.
Yeah, exactly.
And you say it through your teeth, don't you? I will talk to Daddy about that.
Well, let's speak about it later. Mummy needs to talk to Daddy about it. And I'm like, Marv, you've told her that, did you? He's like, oh, I didn't really know, babe. Okay, well, just if you didn't know, don't say it.
Yeah, please don't.
Shut it. Don't say a word.
And then it's obvious that mummy said no. But daddy, you said I could yesterday. I'm like, oh dear. But you know, that's where the bad cop comes in, doesn't it?
So we normally at this point in the pod ask, what have you got coming up next? But we know you've got a cookbook coming out, don't you?
I do. It's a bit exciting.
It's my dream to be Delia Smith.
Oh my goodness me. I know.
Dream on, Annie, love.
It's so much fun, you know, so much fun. And I think basically at the start of lockdown, one of my friends at work said to me, and we had, you know, when everyone was doing quizzes and it was going around all the things that you could do and people sorting out cupboards. One of my friends said, you need to start writing down your recipes for your kids. I'm like, oh my God, yes. This is like the one thing that everybody wished, you know, the family member that cooks in their house did, you know, like, so you've got it for when you're older. So it started off like that. And then like everybody over lockdown, we were all cooking more than we needed to.
Yes.
And we all thought we were Insta chefs anyway. I mean, I've always shared food and stuff on my Instagram anyway, but obviously I was at home more, so I just had more time to cook. And everyone was like, please do. And, you know, and I literally was on the phone to my agent and I was like, do you know what? Maybe there's something in this because everybody keeps asking me. I've started doing it anyway. Why don't we just sound it out and see if any publishers are interested? And then as I'd said that, I got approached by Ebu, who are Penguin, you know, and we'd not even sort of put the feelers out there. And they were like, we'd love to do a book with you. And then,
it sort of
came from there, really. And then because like with anything, I started writing on these recipes and then, you know, then you'll have a couple of weeks then where you didn't. And then, so, but what having a publishing deal meant is that I had to,
you had to stick with it.
Which was brilliant. I feel so lucky that I've got the chance to do that. And in my household, I'm like, look, everyone's eating the same thing. Ain't nobody got time for 5,000 meals, and especially not me. My whole thing is like, you know, one meal for everybody, and whether that means you season it differently for you know, different kids, or halfway through cooking and you take bits out for the baby and you blitz that up and then that's what the baby can wean with. And, you know, it kind of just making sure the whole family are happy. So, yeah, it's kind of got everything.
So when can we get our hands on it?
October the 14th is when it's out.
Oh, that's my dad's birthday.
Oh, there you go. Nice prezzy.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, Dad. It's just what you wanted.
I love a cookbook that gives me ideas for, like, quick family dinners, because that's what you need constant inspo for.
You do.
Because you've got to feed the family 365 days a year, haven't you?
So this is the thing, and just to change up your weekly rota,
it gets really boring after a while.
And I think we really realised that over lockdown. I think, like, especially when nobody was eating out, or, you know, just having a sort of pop into someone else's house for dinner, or like you're just cooking at the same old shiz every.
Yeah, it was relentless,
every week,
wasn't it?
It was becoming relentless, yeah. And I love cooking, but I was like really trying to be like, okay, so why don't we try and get this on the next food shop and I'll try this and I'll try. But yeah, it was coming sort of trying to get ourselves out of the funk of that. But yeah, I kind of even put things like, you know, play date snacks when you've got kids over and like fun interactive things to do with the kids when it comes to cooking that isn't messy.
Yes.
So I'm like, I don't want everything to be messy. I have all the best intention of doing all this stuff with the kids, but I'm like,
it can't involve flour, basically. If it doesn't involve flour, you're all right.
Then you're all right.
When you've got to get dinner on the table, the last thing you want to do is then, like, clear up a bomb site afterwards, is it?
Precisely that.
So, Rochelle, we're coming to the end of the podcast. We have three questions that we ask everybody. The first of those is, how do you want to be remembered by your kids?
As the mum that was always there, because, you know, I do live a busy life, but my kids are very much at the forefront of that. But, you know, even though I'm busy, like, you can call me and I will be there in a heartbeat. And, you know, I'll always go above and beyond for my kids. And I think more than anything, you know, there's lots I've done over my career and they can check that out and look at that if they're interested. But I just want them to...
I just want them to know
I just want them to know that they've got a mum in me that is always there and is always their friend as well as their parent.
I like that answer. Now, the other thing we always ask, but I'm guessing we might know the answer to half of it, is what's for tea and who's cooking. I'm guessing it's you, not Marv.
Yeah, I mean, you got that bit right. Today, I'm actually going to my friend's for a barbecue, and I'm so pleased.
So you're not cooking? Yes,
I'm
not
the cooking.
Answer. You've got a day off.
I've got a day off, and I'm going to my friend's house. They're our best friends, and they're a godparent to each of my babies. And we are going there tonight for, just to make the most of this sun whilst it doesn't rain.
Yes.
And that's the trick.
Will you take a dish? Will you take pudding? How will you get involved?
I will always take something, because I just can't help myself. So I'll take, I just looked in the fridge and I got stuff for a good salad, so I'll do that and bring it with me.
Very good. Very good.
And now our very last question, which nobody loves, but everybody gets
asked. I think some people do like it, secretly. But anyway, carry on.
That's because you made it up.
Yes.
Go on.
So, it's weird. You have to imagine you're tucking Annie and I into bed. We are Blake. And you have to sing us.
Okay, this has taken a really weird turn.
I know. Just go with the flow. Just hear us out.
Right, go on.
If Blake is unsettled or one of the girls are unsettled and they can't get to sleep, what lullaby do you sing to them?
Blake's is actually different.
Ooh.
It's not even a lullaby. It's a song and it's just so random.
Most people aren't, telling you.
Yeah, you're not alone. Most people sing the weirdest stuff.
Okay, so mine is, do you remember Big Brothers? Do you remember the group Big Brothers?
No.
No.
And they used to have this song, anyway, it's so random. They used to have this song called Baby Boy. It goes, my love for you will never end. Do you know that song? You'll always be a part of me. That one, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You'll always, and we say Blakey Boy at the end. You'll always be my Blakey Boy.
Oh, lucky Blake. If I tried to sing that, ears would bleed.
Oh, my God. No, poor Blake. Poor
so
Blake.
What do the girls get then? What's the girls, what's their song?
So the girls' song is, Marvin makes up about a million songs. But they're, do you know what? They're more, right before bed, their thing is a story.
Okay.
It's all about story for the girls. And Alaz will just probably be something from, she's doing her own, mate. Alaz off. She's pretending she's got a TikTok account that she doesn't have, FYI. And she's copying Little Mix dance routines.
Nice.
So that's a layer. And she's doing it to us. We're not performing to her.
Okay.
Even when I try and explain to her, I'm like, you know, when Little Mix were first formed, they actually came to meet Mummy and the girls on the Saturdays and when they was on X Factor and they come to our tour rehearsals and asked us for advice and stuff. She's like, yeah, what would you advise Little Mix about? She's like baffled.
What could she possibly tell them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. And then Valley, what is Valley into? Oh, Valley's into Every Night and it's not her birthday. But she wants to sing, it's my birthday, I could do what I like. She loves Anne-Marie.
Oh,
and every
bless
day
her.
She wants to sing that it's her birthday and it's definitely not, but you know.
Love it.
She can dream. She can dream.
She can dream. A girl can dream.
Oh, thank you, Rochelle. It has been such a pleasure.
It has been a pleasure.
Goodness.
And I know
that our audience
are going to go nuts for this episode. So thank you for sparing the time.
Oh, bless you. No, thank you so much. Thank you. It's been such a nice chat. And all of us were understepped by children. It was a beautiful thing.
Oh, Blake stayed asleep. We love this.
Blake stayed asleep. He's bordering on danger nap sounds.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let you go. Yeah. We'll let you go.
We want you to bring your mum next time. I want to hear all about her switch to paramedicness.
I mean, I hope you've got all day.
It's fine.
We've got all day for your mum. It's cool. That's fine.
Oh, bless you. Thank you, ladies.
No worries.
Take care.
Have a great day.
And you. Bye-bye.